Tatooine Sons, a Star Wars podcast, is a proud member of the Making Star Wars Podcast Network, the two-time winner of the Fan Favorite Podcast Network from the Star Wars Podcast Awards. To learn more, go to makingstarwars.net. Star Wars fans, episode 88 of Tatooine Sons. There's a rumor for the Rise of Skywalker going around that gets more and more intriguing the longer you think about it. It includes elements from the Rule of Two, Mortis, and a secret reason behind Order 66. It's called the Force Dyad, and we're diving into it this week. Plus, you'll get our usual hot takes and witty banter, and we might just throw in an update on the hashtag MakeTurbisCanon movement.
You must feel the Force around you.
It's time for Tatooine Sons.
It's true.
What is the name of the Porg on the Millennium Falcon?
The Force is strong in my family.
What do you think his name is? It's a big moment.
I am a Jedi. Like my father before me.
Maybe Turbis?
Do or do not. There is no try.
Turbis? Pablo, if you're listening to this live stream, that Porg's name is now Turbis. It's a good Star Wars name.
We're not done yet.
These guys record an awesome podcast called Tatooine Sons. Everybody listen.
Welcome, Star Wars fans. This is Tatooine Sons, your weekly look into all things Star Wars. From the unique perspective of a father, sharing his love for the amazing space fantasy saga with his two sons. I'm BB Nate, and I'm joined first by my brother, Samuel the Hutt.
Achuta, Star Wars fans, thanks for tuning in. And if you're not a Star Wars fan, then you should probably still pick up Star Wars Adventures issue 27.
Okay, and of course you can't have Star Wars without bizarre father figures. And on that note, here's my dad, the Bowtie Jedi guy.
What's up, guys?
What's up?
What's up?
Yeah,
what's up?
We should probably... Well, we'll come back to it in just a second. All right. It actually felt like fall today.
It did. It's so nice. It was super bright outside, but it was kind of chilly and windy. It was nice.
Nice. I love fall, so, like, as soon as I got home from church, I'm, like, sweatshirt and jeans. I've been missing my sweatshirts. They're, like, my favorite.
I like fall, but I only like it because it's leading up to winter.
That's weird. Wait,
so fall is just like the appetizer to winter?
Yes.
Is that it?
I just like fall. Fall's the main course.
Why do you like fall?
It's not too cold. It usually doesn't snow too much. It's just, I like the time of year, too.
Unless you were here last year, apparently it snowed in November.
It snowed in November, right when we moved back.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Like, within a couple of days after us moving back. So
that's true.
Why do you like winter so much, BB Nate?
Because it's cold.
And because a Star Wars movie comes out right about that time.
That's true.
Another reason I like fall is that The Mandalorian is coming out. I mean, that's a plus.
Coming out.
That's true.
It's going to get ready to get crazy season for Star Wars fans, you know?
And more TV shows than the whole family can deal with.
Yeah. Well, and then we're going to, like, just 2 weeks from right now, we'll be going straight from this recording, because we record on Sunday afternoons. We'll be going straight from this recording into our Star Wars Resistance recording for our new episode. That'll be our new show
just
that'll be coming
weeks,
out.
Really.
2 weeks from today is October 6th.
Wow.
And we'll be doing that.
That's cool.
That is cool.
We've already seen the episode. But
we
that's
have,
true.
But, we saw the first 20 minutes, though. The first part. We didn't
the
see
first
the,
part.
Are they doing
the
two? Do we know if they're doing two that first night?
I don't know.
I would hope. I think they did that with Rebels the first part or whatever.
I'm pretty sure that they did. Mm-hmm. So, cool. Well, I should probably explain.
Yeah, you might want to do that.
Well, I can't really go into too much detail. But let's just say...
Because we don't know much detail. But
this is what we know. All right? We got a message from someone that's in the know. I'm not going to out them.
No.
Not going to out them. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But their initials... No, I'm just kidding. But their initials are... But we had to censor it, so you couldn't hear it. So they suggested highly. Like, these are people... Paper. This is someone that can... let's just say they know, all right? They know what's going on.
Yeah.
They made it very, very clear that it is an important... thing for the three of us at Tatooine Sons to make sure that we pick up Star Wars Adventures issue number 27 that's coming out on October 30th.
Yes.
Now, if you recall, if you know, if you're not familiar with this, this is the a three issue. Are you getting? Did you just burp on the?
Oh, it was through my nose. Ah, oh.
I heard it whistle.
Oh, that hurt.
I heard it whistle.
Oh, that hurt. I'm crying okay. over here.
Okay. So anyway, it is a three-issue arc of the Star Wars children's and young and it's, teenage it's not, teens,
it's
not right?
Even a children's. They said it's just an all-ages comic.
Yeah, an all-ages. That's what they're calling it, which is perfect for us.
Right.
Star Wars all-ages comic series. It is a Journey to the Rise of Skywalker arc, and the storyline follows a never-before-told story that happens between The Last Jedi and The Rise of Skywalker.
And Galaxy's
where the First Order is attacking Kashyyyk. And Chewbacca goes to help, you know, lead the Wookiees and the Resistance against the
what
First
about
Order.
The droid attack on the Wookiees.
Well, now we don't have a droid attack. We have a First Order attack. And in the artwork, there happens to be a Porg. Whoa. I just want to say when right they announced it,
children.
And somebody that knows what they're talking about. Messaged us in private this week and said, buy that episode, dudes. So,
it's an issue.
That issue, dudes. So, we're going to
do... Okay, my question is, though, is how are they going to name him when Chewie doesn't talk?
Well, maybe they're going to translate, because it'd be a hard comic book to read, no matter what your age is, if everything was just grunts and groans.
And there was a,
and there could be other people in the Resistance that are a part of this,
like Rey. All
right,
oh, hey, yeah,
so, Poe,
some soldiers, right. Or
I think I could imagine Poe.
Well, we're hoping that
I imagine
a month or so from now we'll be holding a comic book in our hands with a Turbis made canon hashtag that we could be sharing. For I like that one better.
I like Nate's idea of him looking at the Turbis or naming the Porg or whatever, because you know he named Finn.
Yeah.
You look like a Turbis.
Oh, Poe? Yeah. That'd be kind of cool. I could see Poe being in it.
Yeah. So.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, no reviews this week.
We broke our streak. Come on,
guys.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Now Dad and I are sad.
Yeah.
You got to send us donuts.
We had 7 weeks in a row with a review, and now we have none.
If you can give us a review by the time this podcast goes up.
Yeah, how? This isn't live.
Hey. By the time this podcast goes up, we'll consider it 8 weeks in a row.
No, we won't. All right. So I guess we'll pretty quick here go on. Before we do the poll, though, we should mention that today's broadcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/TatooineSons. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. I highly suggest, based on the conversation that we're going to have at the end of the second part of the episode today, you pick up Darth Bane Rule of Two.
Have you read it?
I haven't.
Have you heard it?
I haven't.
Have you?
But I suggest you pick it up, because my understanding is there's a lot of stuff in there that seems to apply. And before we move on to the next thing, I do want to talk about this whole Chatter Squadron thing. I'm kind of feeling bad that Dennis, you know...
Menace.
I mean, I get it, Dennis. I mean, I get why you like us. And Chatter Squadron is awesome. We love those guys. But what I, you know, they've kind of gotten a little bit punchy with this thing. You know, they got their feelings hurt. And so what we think would probably help is if you went to their page and gave them a review on the channel. Give them a 5-star review. They're a great show. Yeah, they are. They're fantastic. Yeah. Give them a 5-star review. Give them a great rating. But mention that the reason that you're doing it is because you feel bad that Dennis likes us more. And that'll be sort of like a backhanded compliment.
Yeah, so, I like that.
But you should go do that. And, you know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. So, all right. Why don't we... are we already, like, ready to move to the podcast poll of the week?
It looks like it.
Are you brainless? I never ask that question till after I've done it. What? No!
So again, we did a flash poll this week, just a couple hours long. I had 150 votes before it finished up right as we started the show. And it was about last week's episode. So if you haven't checked out episode 87, go ahead and check it out.
That's why you didn't get any votes.
Because it was about the episode. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes it a little bit more of a challenge. It was last week's episode. So, which possible The Rise of Skywalker theory do you hate the most?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? We had Force Ghost of Palooza, Death Star 2 confirmed, Sidious altered timeline, and other comment below. We'll get to a couple of those others here in a minute. What was your vote from last week, guys?
The Sidious altered timeline for me.
Easily.
You? Yeah, I'd probably say that one. Other got 12%. We'll talk about those in a second. Force Ghost of Palooza, meaning all like the possible Force Ghosts that you can probably imagine have been rumored to be in this episode, this film coming up. That got 18%.
That's just like Avengers Endgame.
Yeah. Death Star 2 confirmed. It does. Death Star 2 confirmed got 21%. And running away with it, Sidious altered timeline.
At 49%.
49%.
I got a bad feeling about this.
That's a lot.
Absolutely.
That's more than a landslide.
That is like a double its closest competitor. And it's a four option poll. So go ahead, guys. Who's first? Right. I'm going to drink my Coke. Zero.
Good.
With your little pinky.
Not sponsored.
But if they want to sponsor, that's after issue 27 of Star Wars Adventures comes out and we become more famous for naming a porg in the
movie. That's true.
If that happens, just it's a rumor right now.
You gotta get up really close and like slurp it and then go.
That's good high-quality podcasting right there.
Horrible.
All right.
Okay. Next. All right, this first one's from Rich at Richel 13.
Good job, Richel.
Yeah.
Richel.
He said, the alternate timeline is by far the worst. Not even close.
Yeah, you jumped all over answering that one, didn't you?
All right.
Yeah, that one's, I think we're all in agreement on that. Now, Rick, who's also known as Cassian Andor's doppelganger.
Yeah.
Like, you can't walk through Star Wars Celebration when he's got that jacket on and not have people wonder if it's Diego Luna.
I was walking around the corner in my Jabba the Hutt costume, so, you know, I can't see anything in that thing. And I come around the corner and I see him and I'm like, whoa, it's Diego Luna. I'm like, he's shorter than I thought he'd be. And then I'm like,
aren't you a little short for a Cassian Andor?
And then I'm like, oh, wait, that's right.
Everybody looks tall on TV. Don't you know that?
There we go.
All right. The TV ads, 2 feet.
This is by Rick Villanueva at Cad.
We love Rick. Rick's one of our Patreon supporters. He's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool. We love Isaac, too. Hey, Isaac, what's up, dude? Wear that Tatooine Sun shirt with pride. All right.
Okay. At Cad Bane's Bounty.
Good answer. Good Twitter handle, too.
And he just did Clone Ray with 3 thumbs downs.
Not a fan at all of the Clone Ray theory.
I don't like that. It doesn't sit right. Why? Just why?
See, Rick's smart.
Rick is a smart guy. Well, I mean, he's a Patreon supporter of our
show. That's true.
So that shows that he's not just smart. He's actually got very discriminating tastes.
Yeah.
And he's probably going to cancel after he hears that drinking exercise that was on there a minute ago. Okay.
And us making fun of his stature.
It's his stature.
But hey, that might have gotten us a sponsor.
Might have gotten us a sponsor.
They're like, oh, wait.
It's kind of fun listening to the intro now, though, because you were 12 when you had your a moment of glory with Rian Johnson and the question. And you sound like this on it, and now you're down here like this.
Yeah,
it's kind of fun. Yeah. Joshua Blumel, hashtag Broncos, hashtag Bears, hashtag Joker.
Wait, he likes the Broncos and the Bears?
He was probably conflicted last week during the Broncos Bears game, huh?
Or is he like Broncos and then just the animals of Bears? Or does he just like the animals of Broncos and the animals?
It could be
Bears.
Murder Bears, and then that would be Ewok.
Could be Space Bears, and then it's Last Jedi.
Ooh, it's cool. And Joker, we know what that is. At Jugal, instead of Google, it's Jugal 83. And he said Clone Ray, so he was agreeing with Rick. But then he said, and Palpatine
Clone Ray and Palpatine.
Okay, so like comma. Meaning I think probably the two that were on the our poll, or I don't know, but the one that
doesn't like
the last part's the one that threw me up.
Yeah, I saw that.
It said Rose pregnant. What the heck? There's a theory out there that Rose is pregnant.
I've not heard that.
Is it like the kiss? She got pregnant with Finn's child,
kind of like the Rey Kylo touching hands sort of thing.
I don't know. That was I replied. I'm like, what is
way different in the Star Wars universe?
I did the GIF of Will Ferrell from from Anchorman, and he's like, what did you just say? Like that, and he replied back. He's like, that's a theory that's out there.
Oh my gosh.
Rose pregnant theory. I mean, I'm pretty well.
Maybe that's why she's not in the Rise of Skywalker.
Because that would be a shocker for sure.
That would be. That would be. Really. I'm just gonna go out. That'd be really dumb.
Yeah, I don't think that's gonna happen.
Dumb.
Yeah, he's having a voice change in the middle of the show today.
By the end of this, his voice is gonna have dropped an octave.
Yeah. All right. So I guess we'll go on and we'll start talking about some hot takes. Supreme Leader Kylo Ren's story of demise is going to be fully explored beginning in November. That says December. That word right there. It doesn't start with an N. It starts with a D. The future is unclear for the timing of Rian Johnson's Star Wars trilogy. Star Wars trilogy. And Jedi Fallen Order is the game you've been looking for. It's time for hot takes.
This is where the fun begins.
Well, you want the bad news or the really bad news?
Impressive. Every word in that sentence was wrong.
New Star Wars comic will show Ben's tragic evolution into Kylo Ren. This is definitely not Star Wars Adventures issue number 27.
No.
This is from Inverse.com. We will link to it in the show notes. Several weeks ago at Fan Expo Toronto in Canada, which took place August 22nd through the 25th, Star Wars comic book writer Charles Soule talked a little bit about his upcoming 4-issue miniseries, The Rise of Kylo Ren. The first issue will be released on December 4 and will continue into 2020, which I think is interesting.
Maybe there's some stuff in the third issue.
Well, I don't know. Is it say 3 issues? It says 4.
There's 4.
Yeah. So yeah, one in December, January, February, March. Yeah.
Yeah.
As its title implies, the series is all about Kylo Ren, his involvement with the Knights of Ren, and just how his relationship with Luke Skywalker disintegrated and pushed him to the dark side. It is indeed the origin of Kylo Ren, or Soule told Canadian fans, Ben to Ren. Ben to Ren.
Oh, I thought that was like another last name. I'm like, wait, he's not a Solo?
Ben to Ren.
It sounded like a Star Wars-y last name. I'm like, wait, he's not a Solo.
That's what happens with his hot takes, and they have no idea what we're going to talk about. All right. You know Ben Solo is tragic, Soule said via comic book resources. The potential of him from the day he was born, everyone around him saw or thought they saw what he could be. So he was put in all of these different paths, and we've kind of seen how that's gone wrong in the film so far. This is a story about Ben Solo understanding some of the choices he made. Samuel the Hutt, what do you think about this series? Is this like the... Charles Soule's Dark Lord of the Sith comic book series. The Darth Vader series.
Oh, like my favorite comic series ever. I think I've seen a couple panels, on Facebook. I think a few have been, released or whatever. It looks really...
Isn't that the Dagobah? No, that was the Snoke episode issue of the Age of Resistance.
Right? Oh, then it may have been from the Snoke comic, actually. No, I'm really excited for that. I think this will be interesting. That's a large part of his past that we just don't know about. Obviously, we know that he turned on Luke once Luke decided he was going to try and kill him in his sleep. But
that could tend to cause tension between an uncle and his nephew.
A little bit.
Just thought I might. If your uncle Jody decided to try to murder you guys.
Yeah, I woke up with him pointing a gun to my face.
That would be a little bit uncomfortable.
That would be a little bit jarring,
I wouldn't have anything to defend myself with. I don't have a force.
You're overthinking it.
Okay, this is going to get weird, okay?
No, I'm really excited to see this. I want to know more about the Knights of Ren and what they do. I'm sure we'll learn about it a little bit in December, but...
I think we're going to learn a lot about it in December.
Yeah, but we know very little about them or what Kylo's connection to them is. And then just seeing, how he got involved with Snoke will be really interesting, because that's, again, that's another thing. I mean, Leia and Han talk about him like
in the Force Awakens, next door
neighbor, mm-hmm. like they know him. So how does that all work? You know, I think this will be really important comic series to pick up. And if it's Charles Soule, you know it's going to be good.
Yeah, his stuff's been phenomenal. You know, he was like an immigration lawyer or something, some type of a lawyer before he started writing comic books.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And that's what, and then comics. And he got started. His like first major series that he did was a whole series, a story arc for Daredevil. Which was he got the job because not only was he, you know, pretty good at writing comics and stuff.
He was a lawyer.
He was a lawyer, and he could relate to what was going on. And it was all courtroom level, you know, stuff that was going on with Murdoch and stuff like that.
Interesting.
Yeah,
that's cool.
BB Nate, what do you think is? Do you think there's going to be any major like teases or revelations in that very first issue that creates a bunch of questions going into The Rise of Skywalker that we're going to get answered in that film?
I don't know. I feel like, is this, do we know if it's a monthly?
I'm sure release? It's monthly.
Okay, because sometimes it can be weekly.
It says it's continuing into 2020, and it's a four-issue series, so I can't imagine them doing it more than monthly.
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like that there wouldn't be much. I mean, it is a comic. They really haven't released much huge plot things in any of the comics we've heard about.
Yeah, well, except, I mean, they are going to canonize Chirpus, we're thinking. I mean, that's pretty major.
Yes.
So, but anyway, so keep, continue, I'm sorry.
I mean, I don't think that there's going to be much in, I mean, we don't have much of Kylo Ren's backstory, period. We have...
Do we get any of Snoke's, like, a better understanding of Snoke in this first issue before we get to The Rise of Skywalker for, like, the deep dive fans like us? I mean, for those that are not concerned with all like the backstory stuff and they're just moviegoers, no big deal, right? But one of Snoke's backstory is one of the biggest mysteries within the entire Star Wars saga. Do we get a little bit of that, you think, in this first issue to help set the table for Rise of Skywalker?
I believe so. I believe we're going to get a little bit of stuff just to tease us to go to the movie. I mean, stuff that's not really going to hurt.
Not spoiler level.
Right, and not stuff that, like, if you don't read the comic, it's going to ruin your movie experience, you know? I think it's just enough to get us, like, give us some questions to think about as we're going into the movie. Especially about Snoke, I feel like. I think so.
BB Nate, first issue of the Rise of Kylo Ren or Star Wars Adventure 27? If you had to pick one, which one would it be?
Well, I think the Star Wars Adventures... I mean, I read...
It's episode 27, right? Or issue 27, issue right? 27, yeah. It comes out on October 30th, right?
I read one of the issues of Star Wars Adventures. It was really interesting.
You know, we interviewed Kevin Scott, and he's a writer for that, but that he didn't write this nope. issue. So, all right, next one. Ryan Johnson chimes in. We're just going to keep dropping hints to that one until October 30th, I have a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Ryan Johnson chimes in on Star Wars Trilogy timeline. Lucasfilm still figuring out their schedule.
My gosh, Rian Johnson's film trilogy is canceled.
Thank you, Nathan. All right. This is from sci-fi.com, and that's SYFY.com. The truth is there, meaning Disney and Lucasfilm, still figuring out their schedule, their game plan. This is a direct quote from Rian Johnson. So if it's possible for me to squeeze in another film before or while working on that, I will. Johnson told the Evening Standard. While that's far from a definitive forecast for when this trilogy will get it underway, it does suggest that fans who had hoped that Knives Out, Johnson's quirky black comedy that hits theaters this Thanksgiving, would be his final pre-Star Wars pit stop, may instead have to watch it as Johnson considers another movie or more as the calendar slips by. Johnson at least is having fun maintaining some connection to the Star Wars series, even as he awaits Lucasfilm's next planning move. Yoda actor Frank Oz has a small role in Knives Out.
Really?
Giving rise to a tie-in that almost slipped by Johnson before he realized, or having it pointed out to him, that he's stealthily still playing in the Star Wars sandbox. You're right. Technically, this is a Star Wars crossover, he joked to the Standard. BB Nate, do you think that they're being nice and shelving Rian Johnson's projects for Star Wars projects for a little while longer, or do you think that they just are waiting to see how this fall plays itself out with all of the onslaught of Star Wars content coming out, including The Rise of Skywalker?
I mean, I think that they may be trying to be nice. I mean, that's a great thing that they're doing, giving him a little bit more time to figure it out. But I honestly do think that they may be using Knives Out as a little bit of a marketing tool. See how, well, a lot of people don't like Rian Johnson, the director himself, and this is not a Star Wars related movie, so I think they're going to see how the box office numbers do to see if that even relates to it being Rian Johnson, period, and then see what happens from
that's
there.
That's actually a really good point, PB. Mm-hmm. What do you think, Samuel? Do you think that Star Wars and Disney and Lucasfilm are holding things back and kind of governing things until they find out what's going on with Rian Johnson?
I think so. I think that it's something similar to what Nathan said. That's a good idea with the whole Knives Out judging it because of Rian Johnson. But I was kind of thinking more about the fan reaction to Rise of Skywalker, because I think that they're going to use it and it's going to clear up a lot of stuff in The Last Jedi. And I'm hoping that it'll kind of turn some of the fans and realize, oh, that's why he did that, or oh, that's why that's in there. Thus changing their viewpoint, so they're going to see how it plays out.
I honestly can see where you're coming from. I do, but I don't want them to retcon it. And they said that they
were going to. No, I'm not saying retcon.
I don't want them to take time to explain it. I mean, it's unnecessary. If you enjoyed the movie, you understood what was going on. I don't feel like it would just be necessary for them to explain it.
I don't think that it's an explanation necessary or a retcon. I think it'll just make the things that happened in The Last Jedi, some of the things that happened, more clear in a way.
Yeah, I think what Sam's saying here is that once we see the conclusion of the third act of the sequel trilogy, the weirdness and the questions, which we have been saying for 2 years now, were the same level of questions and concerns that people would have had after Empire Strikes Back, had Empire Strikes Back been released in the social media era. Right. Even with like Starlog and the editorial letters and things like that, that there was a lot of fan frustration and angst, right, over what happened, right, in the Empire Strikes Back. I think that when you finish the story arc, that the questions and the concerns are not being retconned, BB Nate. I think that they're being resolved. Mm-hmm. I think that the questions are answered. And I think what you're saying, Sam, is that once the questions are answered, then we can announce a Rian Johnson trilogy, and it's not going to have the level of controversy as it does now.
And a good second act in any story is supposed to cause tension and questions and frustration. It's not supposed to all end happy.
Definitely frustration. It's been forever since The Last Jedi.
Well, I mean, I'm not talking even just like that. Just like, what's going to happen? How are the heroes going to get out of that? Why did that happen? You know, stuff like
getting
that.
Star Wars detoxing.
What was that?
You're
Star Wars detoxing?
Yeah.
He starts scratching his arm like he's trying to get a hit or something?
Yeah.
Okay, that was weird. Okay. Has Electronic Arts finally cracked the Star Wars code? This is actually from Fool.com, the Motley Fool. It's an investor's website. And they're talking about EA and all that. And it says, EA's latest shot at making the Star Wars game comes in November, when Star Wars Fallen Order will release. While the early hands-on reviews reveal that there are still unanswered questions about how good the final version will be, the consensus indicates that Fallen Order could be the kind of experience fans have been craving. One analyst has already crunched some numbers and sees pre-orders trending toward a strong seller. It certainly helps that Fallen Order lets players live out a Jedi fantasy in a single-player story mode, an experience that should mesh perfectly with the upcoming theatrical release of Star Wars: The Rise of Skywalker. Still as excited as ever about Fallen Order, guys?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, yeah. I mean, from everything I've seen, it reminds me a lot of The Force Unleashed, which is by far still one of Nathan and I's favorite Star Wars games.
Well, it is my favorite Star Wars game.
I mean, it's
you
just,
can't beat it.
It's phenomenal, and I'm hoping. I mean, yeah, you can't beat it, but you also can't. You can't copy it either. Mm-hmm. So I feel like Fallen Order. I think it's going to have similar feels just from what Nate and I have seen from like some of the combat gameplay. But I think it's going to, not only is it going to have the amazing combat gameplay of The Force Unleashed, but it's going to have an amazing story that's canon, too.
And amazing,
I think,
graphics.
Is what's important. And the graphics are phenomenal in it.
Oh.
Your turn.
Okay. Yes, I'm totally excited. I've always been excited. I mean, I've been waiting. I'm not saying that Battlefront 2 was bad. It was a great game. I loved the campaign. It just had its flaws. had some major flaws at the beginning, and it just drove people away. I feel like if EA can crack and make it so that it doesn't have any... You can't really do play to win.
Yeah, because it's single player.
It's single player.
I just hope that they don't make it to where you have to...
So define what the heck you just said.
Play to win. So the big controversy...
Pay to win. Oh, okay.
The big controversy for the original release of Battlefront 2 was that they had these loot boxes, and the loot boxes would give you better guns, heroes, stuff like that, right? And so in theory, you could just pay them money to get a bunch of loot boxes to get better stuff so you could be ahead. And it was unfair for people who didn't want to spend a bunch of money. So that's called pay to win.
I get it. Okay. I thought you said play to win. So no. I was kind of like, isn't that the point of a game?
Yeah. No. They fixed it to where now the loot boxes just give you cosmetics and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's a lot. It's a much more even.
So Battlefront's been corrected.
Yes.
Do we know if they're doing anything similar to what they're doing currently with Battlefront in Jedi Fallen
Order? Well, you can't really, because the problem was it was multiplayer. And that would cause an unfair advantage to multiplayer. So you can't really have that problem with a single player campaign. What I'm worried about is that they're gonna charge you hand and foot for like a bunch of DLCs and stuff, so you get part of the story or the main bit of the story, but there's a lot of other stuff you can still get, sort of like the Last Jedi DLC for Battlefront 2. We didn't have to pay for that one though.
No, we pre-ordered the Battlefront 2, so we automatically got it. We got a special package.
Okay. I'm hoping they don't do that, and because that's often a huge I'm forgetting the
expense
word.
Expense and just frustration.
It really is a frustration for a lot of players, because we spent, they spent $60 on this game at least, to get it, and then it's not even hardly a full game, So I hope that they learn from their mistakes and don't do that.
Interesting. Yes. I mean, DLCs are not that much normally. I can fully understand where you're coming from. I hope they do what they did with Force Unleashed. They had 3 DLC missions.
They did?
Mm-hmm.
Oh!
And those were all 3 great DLC missions, but they didn't have anything to do with the main story. They followed up after if you chose the Sith path.
I thought it was the Jedi path.
Mm-mm.
Anyway.
You killed Luke Skywalker. That's not the Jedi path.
Well, there's 2 paths, but... yeah, okay, I see where you're going with that, yeah.
I mean, that didn't have anything to do with the main story, and they're amazing hour-long DLCs that were a lot of fun to play. They just...
Yeah, but I'm hoping that the main game is still long enough to where it doesn't feel like you got nothing for your money.
Yeah, I understand.
Well, we only have like a month and a half to find out. Wait to find out. Can you believe it?
No.
Meanwhile, we'll have a bunch of other stuff that happens. It comes out the exact same day as...
Disney Plus?
Disney Plus.
Hmm.
So, interesting. Well, every Star Wars saga film has announced or introduced, not really announced, but introduced, a new Force ability. And we have Force Visions, Force Levitation, Force Lightning, others. Of course, the Force Time, kind of like iPhone connection in The Last Jedi. And so it's a certainty we will see some new Force ability in The Rise of Skywalker. But an interesting set of theories and rumors suggest that the ability we will see in Episode 9 has been simmering beneath the surface for the entire series of films. Introducing the Force Dyad.
Rebellions are built on hope.
If you live long enough, you see the same eyes in different people.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
All right, so, I think that for us to jump into this topic, we have to, you guys haven't had a chance to dig into this yet. We're going to do it in the show. But there's so many layers to this idea.
Yeah, I can tell.
And they bring in so many elements that are like classic Star Wars elements from not just the films, but from animation and legends and everything, which I think if they're going to try to unify Star Wars fandom, this might be the trick to make it work. If they did it the right way.
So you're saying this is probably one of the most accurate theories we've done for the past 3 weeks?
I think it's got the most potential of all the theories.
So
having said that, I'm pulling from Making Star Wars. I'm pulling from Bespin Bulletin. Both of them are known for having rumors and leaks and spoilers. So before we get into it, soft spoiler alert.
So you're saying that this is more plausible than the Red String of Fate, which you thought was...
No, I think Red String of Fate's actually, like, it's going to happen. But...
Podcast,
but that's just a confirmation of Reylo.
It is a dangerous business
because you get spoiled. You get spoiled.
Well, I think this is both of them are kind of throwing it in there like a theory, and the way I'm packaging this for the show is more like theory, more like rumor, but less like spoiler and that type of thing. But let's explain. Let's define what a Force dyad is. According to Bestman Bulletin, when their definition seemed to make the most sense to me, the Force creates two powerful people in the galaxy. So the Force creates them or brings them into the power of the Force. Okay, maybe not like Chosen One Anakin creates, but like Rey and Kylo Ren kind of, or Ben Solo type thing.
I think I've kind of talked about this
idea. The Force creates two powerful people in the galaxy who can become even more powerful when they join forces. Their power is exponentially greater. So it's not like 1 + 1 = 2. It's like 1 + 1 = 100 type of when they combine their power.
That's not how math works.
Well, it is in Star Wars. Okay.
3 + 3 = 6, but 3 × 3 = 9.
All right, there we go. Yeah, okay, thanks. Okay, 12 + 12 = 24, 12 × 12 = 144.
Right,
see. There we go. See, okay. So it kind of... the idea here, I'm trying to avoid the theory part until the end, trying to lay a foundation of it. There's this idea that they tie in, Making Star Wars, Bespin Bulletin. This is also Inverse.com talked about this on several different actual articles in the last week with different elements of it. But the idea is kind of goes back all the way to the motivation behind the rule of two.
Okay.
We know, and from what you guys understand, what do you think is the real, like, the impetus behind the rule of two?
The story is that the Sith were infighting amongst each other, so Darth Bane decided to wipe them all out and then just take one apprentice. That way, there wasn't all this infighting and fighting amongst the actual Sith, and then they would rule by working behind the scenes.
Could it be that it wasn't just the infighting that was causing the problem? See, this theory goes down this path to suggest that the Force becomes concentrated the fewer that there are within beings. Like, the Force finds itself manifesting more powerfully in people when there's less of it to go, it's being spread out among less people, is this idea. And the rule of two being like the dark side of the Force becomes more powerful in the master and the apprentice because there's no other Sith. But there's no other dark side users. So the dark side is concentrating within those two. What do you think about this idea?
Well, isn't the Force around everything, in everything?
Absolutely. That's not what I'm saying. The idea is the Force is everywhere, but it's trying to find an outlet. The light side is trying to find an outlet. The dark side is trying to find an outlet.
This might not make sense, but you were dealing with math. Say we have a 2 and a 2.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Okay.
So we got
the calculus student getting taught by the high school freshman.
Okay.
All right.
So we got 2 ones, and we have a 6. Then you can split it up to 3. So there's more in those two people, but if you have 3 ones, you have to split it up to 2. So there's less to go around to
people. It's division. I see
what you're doing. This is madness.
Okay, the bigger the number and the smaller you're dividing it by, the bigger the parts are.
Yes.
I see where he's going with it.
Does that make sense to you? Because I have no idea what just happened.
You take 100, right?
No, I don't want to know any more
and
math.
You divide
this
it
is
by
a Star
2,
Wars podcast. This is not a math 50, podcast.
But you divide
Let's just
by
go
10,
to this. Okay, the rule of two. The Sith actually discovered this long ago, according to the theory, and that's why they created the rule of two. One master, one apprentice. Eventually, when powerful enough, when the light came to meet the rising darkness, the master would bring an equally powerful light user before his apprentice to battle in the hopes that they would form what's known as a Force dyad. In the presence of such Force energy, so this exponentially powerful Force connection, okay? In the presence of such force energy, the Sith Master would perform this ritual and create a trinity of force users. Hence, why Palpatine did this over and over. Why bring Anakin in with Dooku in that moment? Why bring Luke in with Vader? I mean, we've always saw it from a perspective of he's looking for a replacement apprentice and all that. But could there be this Force dyad that he's trying to form? What do you guys think about this?
Why is it called a dyad if it's three people?
I don't know why they call it that.
Okay.
Triad.
I feel like triad.
Because the dyad... Yeah, anyway, it could be a triad. But anyway, calling it the Force dyad.
Okay. I actually think that's very interesting. I'm trying to think, like, what would be the end result of that? Like, what would happen?
What if the end result is Darth Plagueis's understanding of how to gain immortality? You bring this powerful light side user, this powerful dark side user together. They form this Force dyad. The Sidious then taps into that Force ability, that Force power, in order to create himself as an immortal being.
Totally off topic. I haven't even gotten a release date for Vader and Morlul Episode 2.
Okay, anyway. here's where I think it gets really interesting. Mortis.
Ooh. Three people.
Powerful. Because you have powerful light, you have powerful dark, and you have the Father who's functioning sort of like this immortal being as well in this moment.
And Anakin was supposed to take over the Father's place.
Mm-hmm. In that storyline, yeah, in the Clone Wars arc.
But it didn't happen.
It didn't. But do you see, this idea seems to be present. Now, we know that that son and daughter were both destroyed in that episode, right?
And the father.
They all died. So from that point forward, dead. And I think we even did an episode about this.
We did.
Way back, early on in the show's history, where we talk about how sort of that moment is when the Force became unbalanced.
I think that's when we saw the Mortis mural in the trailer for season 4 of
Rebels. Yeah, I think that we were talking a lot about it with Mortis. Rebels.
Yeah.
It sounds like that, because that was in there. Which, interestingly, we know that Rian Johnson, before he wrote The Last Jedi, was encouraged to watch those episodes to try to understand it. So there's this element that's potentially there within Mortis. Can you see where that's coming from, too?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, mm-hmm. I can certainly see that.
Okay. It's
such a good arc.
Yeah, it's so important. Without a doubt. It's so critical. And it's like, let's go watch it and hope Mom's still taking a nap when the show's over. Okay. Now, here's where it gets really kind of weird, all right? This one's from Inverse specifically. This theory also suggests that this cannot work when there are more than three Force users in the galaxy. And so this is why the Emperor instituted Order 66. He was white, because there's only two Sith,
mm-hmm.
right? He knows who the Sith are.
Right.
He and Anakin.
Mm-hmm.
So now let's wipe out all the dark, all the Jedi. Let's destroy all the Jedi so that the Force is not being, because he knows how powerful Anakin is.
Right.
Right? So let's wipe out all the other Jedi, all the other Force users in the galaxy in one fell swoop in an attempt to reconcentrate the Force in some being in order to have this Force dyad or whatever come to be in this. What do you think about that idea? Like a sinister, really, like not just, hey, I want to win, but hey, I'm going for immortality here. This has been my plan all along. What do you think about this idea, guys?
Know. I mean, I'm trying to think, how many Jedis do we know were still alive after Order 66? I know we got Obi-Wan, I know we have Kane, and then I know we have the guy from Fallen Order.
Yoda. That one guy in the Vader comic series, but he's dead now.
Yeah, he's dead. Don't consider Ahsoka.
Jocasta, no, she's dead now, too.
No, but she wasn't. Here's the thing. Guys, that's why the Inquisitors were created.
Yes.
To track down and destroy the last Force users.
And then we have Ezra.
There's this obsession within the Clone Wars and in Rebels with going after Force-sensitive children and trying to get them. There's this like obsession with these anybody that's a Force user trying to know who they are and control them and take over and all that. Could that be why Order 66 exists?
It makes sense. I love that idea because it makes Palpatine the real bad guy. Like, he's had his he's figured it out. You know,
he's always been kind of like the bad guy in a chair. He's never really done much. Like, he's always been kind of
behind the scenes.
Yeah, like kind of just like, I'm here. I'm a bad dude. Let me let Vader do all of my dirty work.
He comes up with the plan and then lets other people do it. Exactly. Yeah, no, I love that. It makes him seem like the real bad guy who's had this plan for
however long he's actually alive.
Right, which, you know,
we've talked debatable. About it could have been longer.
Which, man, that's such a cool. I'm really liking this theory so far.
I told you, it like the more it's exactly like we said in the intro. The deeper you get into this theory, the more intriguing it gets. Were you gonna say something?
No, I'm just confused.
So now we're back in The Last Jedi, right? Darkness rises and light to meet it. We've got Snoke, right? We've got this idea from Star Wars Rebels, even from the Bendu, right? Where he's talking with Kanan, and they're talking about the Force, and Kanan is seeing it in that black and white, good, evil, Jedi, Sith mindset, right? And he says to the Bendu that asks him if he's a Force wielder, right? Yeah. You remember this scene?
Yeah.
In season 3, I think. Yeah, it has to be season 3. The Jedi, and this is the quote from the Bendu, the Jedi and Sith wield the Ashla and the Bogan, meaning the dark side and the light side, right? And the light and the dark, but that's what he says, the light and the dark. I'm the one in the middle, the Bendu. I'm like this, there's this balanced force thing. The dark side's rising, the light to meet it. Powerful light, powerful dark, right? Darkness rises, all that. What do you think? I mean, do you see how they could have been, that like they're potentially setting us up for this idea of this ultimate conflict between one single light side user and one single dark side user, and now bringing in the Emperor, that it could be tying that all together?
I believe so. I think they've been talking about this balance idea through most of the new canon. I mean, they've just been talking about balance, 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 and so much stuff that I think it's almost unavoidable at this point. Like, how can you not see that they're going there?
What do you think, BB-8?
This is a very strange theory.
It's definitely in depth.
It's one of the weirder ones we've talked about. I was thinking, and I'm like, wait, all of the powerful Jedi have had their masters died. Their masters, we got Obi-Wan, Qui-Gon died, and then we have Kanan, who is
Deepa Bilaba.
Yeah, and then we have Ezra. Then we have Rey, even.
Okay.
I'm just saying that there could be a lot going on that we might not know.
And maybe, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with the Vader Immortal storyline either. And I think that that's got a lot to do with using Force power for resurrection and the Plagueis stuff. And so we don't know where that's going yet either. But it was all about resurrection in that first episode that we played, which I was just...
And then he said, you know...
I really want to play it again.
Basically trying to do the Force dyad with the character you're playing. You got to
explain.
Well, it's a Force wielder. You're a Force wielder smuggler, and Vader is trying to take you to the dark side. You got to think. This is all before Luke Skywalker, so this is also trying to do the Force dyad as we're...
All right, so up to this point, it's all been theory. Now we're going to get into a little bit more rumor. And so, warned on that, we're going to talk back. You know, the theory or the rumor is that Ben Solo was lured to the dark side, actually not by Snoke, but by Sidious. Now, we don't know how that works. Could Sidious have been doing it through Snoke or something like that? But he's being lured to the dark side specifically by Palpatine, by Darth Sidious, in order to purposefully kill the other Jedi apprentices being trained by Luke Skywalker, which is what he does. What do you think?
Dang.
Does this not make the Emperor what we always wanted the Emperor to be?
It does, but this seems a little too dark. You
know, I was reading it, and I'm like, it started sounding crazy, and then I'm like, dang, that makes sense. Like, it is dark, but...
And potentially, you know, going back to Snoke, in the throne room, was it the Supremacy? Is that what they... No. Whatever it is, Dreadnought is Snoke's ship, with the Praetorian Guard and all that stuff. Yeah. He says that he thought maybe this is the Emperor speaking through Snoke. Mm-hmm. He thought, you know, he's saying powerful light or the darkness rises and light to meet it is what he says. And he says specifically, he thought that the light that was going to rise to take on Kylo Ren
was Luke.
Okay, so there's this weird dark light thing that's even going on there. I think that if Snoke is literally like a vessel for Emperor Palpatine in this storyline, which, you know, we don't know for sure if that's the case at all. But if that's the case, he was expecting the Force Dyad to take place with Kylo Ren on the dark side, mm-hmm. Luke Skywalker, you know, the son of the Chosen One, the grandson of the Chosen One, in his presence. That creates the Force Dyad that brings him back into, you know, fully alive again or something like that.
We got to think he didn't foresee Rey.
Well, that's where it gets interesting. So here's what happens in the storyline, right? So Luke realizes this, according to the theory. He realizes that that's what's going on with Kylo Ren. And what happened? So that's why Luke goes into exile on Octu and hides himself and says, there can't be any Sith. There can't be any dark side. The Emperor can't come back. None of this can happen.
So
if I don't go and confront him, I don't go and try to be the hero. I'm just going to die in exile in order to save the day. By not fighting, I win. I gain victory. With this. That's the whole idea behind the exile, according to this theory.
I mean, what would be the benefit for Palpatine, though? Sidious. What would be the benefit? Why would he use the dyad?
Because he wants to gain full corporeal immortality again.
I understand.
Physical immortality. He's found a way through the Force to sustain his spirit, probably through clones is what I think, or through, you know, carriers like Momin, or attaching himself to items. The ring, you've got the ring stuff going on, you've got masks, you've got all the Lord Momin stuff from Dark Lord of the Sith.
Right. You gotta think, Momin's end goal for building the castle was to bring his body back.
Yeah.
So. I mean, which then ties into Vader Immortal, because Vader Immortal is taking place in that, you know, same on Mustafar castle. In the castle.
And he's trying to bring back Padme, I think.
He's trying to resurrect Padme.
Oh, Lord. But would he use the
Aeon Drive?
What?
Wasn't the Aeon Drive in Earth?
No, I'm not talking about that anymore. But would he use the Dyad for evil power? Do you think he would turn Luke? Do you think he would take the immortality, then turn Luke to take over the galaxy?
No, I think that he's trying. It's all about him. Palpatine, Sidious is all about Sidious. And his goal is he wants personal immortality. Physical immortality is what he is seeking through this. But here's where it goes. You guys brought it up. Let's go into it. Rey's the wild card. Okay? We don't understand. We still don't know why she's on Jakku. We still don't know who her parents are, where she's coming from, any of this stuff. We don't know why she's so powerful in the Force. You know, the Mary Sue argument, which we don't agree with in any way, shape, or form, is built on a foundation of, but who is she and where does she come from? And how does she know how to use the Force so well? You know, there's lots of theories out there with it, but the reality is we still don't have 100% answers. On this. But when she left Jakku, something awakened in the Force. Okay?
Okay.
Now, this is where I'm inserting my own thoughts and my own theory into this, okay? This has nothing to do. Didn't read this. What if the awakening wasn't Rey? You felt the famous Snoke, Kylo Ren.
There's been an awakening.
There's been an awakening. Have you felt it? That kind of thing. It's never specifically mentioned who that is. That's where the Finn Jedi theorists attach themselves to, because they suggest that it's actually talking about Finn.
It's BB-8.
The reason you can do this, is because it's ambiguous by nature. It's not clearly stated it's about Rey or anyone else. So what if when something happens, when she leaves, and, you know, we'll talk about why it could be that way in a second. She leaves Jakku, where Palpatine had an observatory. Interestingly enough, the Cardinal from Phasma and Black Spire was born and raised on Jakku. Jakku's got, like, the final battle of the Galactic Civil War took place on Jakku. Jakku's, like, this storyline. They teased it to us at the beginning in the first movie of the trilogy, sequel trilogy. Why does everybody want to go back to Jakku? Like, Jakku's got significance here with it. She leaves, and then Kylo Ren and Snoke have this conversation about there's been an awakening. Have you felt it?
Okay.
What if that awakening wasn't Rey at all? What if the awakening was the awakening of Emperor Palpatine? Something triggered where Emperor Palpatine's essence was reawakened as a result of that. In this balancing that's going on. Because we have...
He sensed Rey.
The Rey's power, you know, is now into play. Luke's going to be brought back is what we ends up happening with this, right? What if the Emperor's power senses this and is awakened as a result of it?
It's like Jakku was this sort of prison almost to hold Rey at bay, where she couldn't do anything. What if the whole parent thing was somehow, I don't know how, I'm not going to go into detail or anything. What if the parent thing was all just a ruse to see if she could, just to keep her there? You know, because the reason why she stayed there was...
Well, she was waiting for her family.
Right, I mean, when she was talking to Maz, and she's like, oh, I got to get back home.
Yeah, she's obsessed, exactly. She's obsessed with getting back to Jakku. She's like, for some reason, feels like she can't leave. You know, that kind of thing. And so you're right. Maybe there's something that was said to her or some, like, thought process that was implanted in her to make her believe that, you know, her future is tied to having to stay on Jakku, so she'll never leave with it.
I mean,
it almost seems like this is a really cliche metaphor, but, you know, almost like the princess in a castle sort of idea.
Ooh, that's a really good thought.
You know, I mean, I'm not saying she's a princess or anything like that, but you get the idea. You know, the princess is locked away in the tower because she's got some unknown power, and the castle is kind of what's keeping her at bay, and then someone has to come in and save her and rescue her, and then the evil stepmother has to rise up to confront the princess at that time. You know what I mean? This is like a classic fairy tale idea.
I mean, what was that book that Rian Johnson found all the Force powers in? Any reference?
The Jedi Code.
The Jedi Code. I need to read that book to see if there's any force powers that, like, can make people change their memory somehow.
Oh, I'm sure it exists.
I'm sure there... Yeah, I wasn't, like, too sure that you were able to teleport yourself in the Force and make a vision of yourself, but apparently that's also possible.
Well, so, here's where what the theory then starts to talk about with Rey is that she's, you know, a clone of Palpatine. We've heard that one before, and again, go back to our poll at the beginning, that's not all of that popular with it. There's a lot of things that are theorizing that she's a granddaughter of, and I guess there was even something in George Lucas's Underworld TV series that suggested that Palpatine had like children and grandchildren, and there's like, they're talking about how this was like something Lucas was putting into the series and the stories and stuff like that. Or it could be something else. But that's sort of where the plan, the theory starts to go. So according to rumor and according to theory, there's two directions that this could go in. Okay?
Okay.
One is that Sidious is bringing Rey and Kylo Ren together to create this dyad through which he will achieve immortality, which is, you know, pretty much what we've been saying for this entire segment, that's the way it's going to go. Theory two is, and, you know, different sites have different ways of looking at this. Sidious is bringing Rey and Kylo Ren together to create this dyad through which they will come together as, like, a, I don't know, this, like, sounds really crazy, but like a power couple and rule the galaxy together. What do you think about the Force dyad idea altogether? And if it comes true, which one of these two theories makes the most sense to you? Start with you, BB Nate.
Well, I like the amount of evil that this makes Palpatine be out to be. It's like just evil as we've expected from him. But neither of these theories really go with that. I mean, the Sidious is bringing Rey and Kylo Ren together to create this dyad through which he will achieve immortality is one that sounds the most plausible, judging by everything else. I just don't feel like that's him. I feel like he... Does he have to keep this dyad together
to be immortal.
No, the power coming together creates this conduit for the Force, through which this nexus of the Force, where he is able to fully achieve immortality from that point forward.
I mean, I don't think that would be him. I don't think he would keep them. If you want to achieve that
immortality. No, I don't think that he would want to. That's what makes the Sidious so Sidious.
Exactly. That's what I want.
Then his goal would be to destroy both of them, because he's already achieved his goal.
Sucks up their power too, in a way.
And they're too powerful for him to keep them alive.
Yeah,
after that. That's so true. I mean, that would be the most, that'd be the darkest, but I feel like that's would be the most plausible, just judging by everything else.
You know, I actually didn't hate this theory. We don't usually discuss a theory that I'm like really on board with, but I'm pretty on board with this one.
On board from the perspective of you think it's happening, or on board from the perspective of you like the idea?
I like the idea. I don't want to say whether it's happening or not. I've got no idea. But if it did happen, I wouldn't hate it at all. I think it's a very interesting theory. There's really nothing in there that I disagree with. I just don't want her to be a clone or a granddaughter. But that's something small in comparison to the whole theory. As for which outcome, I think it would be the immortality one. It just makes more sense for
Palpatine's character. It just fits all the way through the prequel trilogy and all the way through.
Right. He wasn't there to
I love benefit. You, granddaughter and son of my greatest apprentice.
Right.
Or grandson of my greatest apprentice.
I mean, he might say that to, like, get them on their side or something, but... Right. I mean, he was never there to help Anakin. Like, this was never the idea. Or he wasn't there to help Luke. It was all for his own personal gain, which is why I think the immortality idea fits better.
I agree. I like this idea, and I love the fact that it brings in so many different weird elements and things. Like, obviously, this is all retcon, right? When Lucas wrote the original trilogy, when Lucas wrote Revenge of the Sith, and stuff. This was nowhere near on his mind. This was not doing. But for them to get this creative within JJ and Ryan and the story group and Kasdan and all of that, if they did this and pulled in, added a different layer to why Order 66 took place.
Yeah.
Brought in Mortis. Ideas into this. All this kind of stuff all at once. Palpatine always bringing the apprentice to battle in front of a Force user in front of him and all this. It would be fun to see them retcon it like this.
I understand, but I'm completely on board of this, but there's one thing that's holding me back.
So you're completely on board, but not.
Would this be the end? Would this end it? Would we not get a happy ending? Would we not get an ending that we would...
No.
Oh, well, no. If he's successful, not a happy ending. Right?
Exactly.
But here's the thing, though. Hold on. We've been told, according to the Variety magazine, or Vanity Fair, the Vanity Fair article, right, that this will be the conclusion of the battle between this millennia-long conflict between Jedi and Sith.
And didn't... JJ say that this would be like an emotionally resonant ending or something like that.
Yeah.
So it's probably not going to be super unhappy.
No, I don't think that it's going to succeed. But here's my point, though. Okay. Palpatine, what if the Finn Jedi theory, what if there are no more Jedi at this point in the storyline? We're 30 years after Rebels. We're 30 years after some of this stuff. There's no one else that's learned the Jedi way. There's no one else that's learned the Sith way, because Emperor Palpatine doesn't have an apprentice, right? Even Kylo Ren himself, they've made it clear to say Snoke and Kylo Ren were not Sith.
Right.
Right? No one knows the Jedi way. No one knows the Sith way. Palpatine brings those two together, and instead of the conflict... God forgive me for saying this, Reylo basically is solidified in that moment. They come together as one in the Force fully. They together defeat Palpatine, and there are no more Jedi, and there are no more Sith, and it's over. This big conflict is done. Do you think that would be a powerful way to end the story?
Yes, but I mean, what about the Jedi texts that Rey has? Isn't she reading them and learning them?
We don't know what she's going to decide to do with them. Maybe she ends up finishing reading them and agrees with Luke and says it's time for the Jedi to end.
Well, I mean, she is reading them.
Well, yeah, we know that from the stories, yeah.
Yeah, but...
comics.
She seems to be, from the stuff that I've seen, she seems to be really, like, into reading them. Like, she's fully immersed in reading that. I don't think that she would, like... I don't think she agrees with it's the time for the Jedi Order to end. Okay. I mean...
Well, you can see.
Yes, maybe the sacred texts don't need to be used anymore because they were false in the mind of Yoda, and we learned that the prequels and the Jedi Council were using them. Those were their rules, but we noticed that wasn't right.
Force diet, is it happening? Scale of 1 to 10.
5. I'm staying neutral.
Wimp. All right, you.
I would on a scale of 1 to 10.
Yeah.
1 being the least likely, 10 being the most likely. I would say 4.
Okay.
Maybe 3. I mean, I like the idea, but I don't think it's going to happen. I feel like. We can theorize. We don't have news. We can theorize. It's definitely
a thing that's at this point.
Definitely things that podcasts do, but I feel like it's not going to happen.
I'm going to say 7.
Okay.
Oh, wow. All right. Anything else you guys want to talk about?
Anything else?
All right. Star Wars Battlefront 2 is getting a new planet.
Yeah. What planet is that?
Felucia.
Oh, that'll be fun. That's a beautiful planet.
That was a huge deal in the original Battlefront games. Yes. Is that map?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool.
And The Force Unleashed, that was the most...
It was fun in The Force Unleashed.
Stream.
With those rankers and stuff. Was that where that one was?
Yeah, rankers.
And then those exploding parkour. And those exploding flowers.
Yes. I remember that.
All right. Boba Fett's original design included boot spikes.
That's pretty cool.
Like in a toe. They're like freaking knives.
Like kick somebody with them. And
that was pretty cool.
That's crazy stuff. Luke's Animation gets a Star Wars themed logo.
That's so appropriate.
I think it's the O, wasn't it, on the animation mm-hmm. when it says that? It was a clone helmet.
Yeah. Phase 1 clone trooper helmet.
Yeah, that looks pretty cool. Well, that's awesome. Well, this week's podcast poll of the week is real simple. What do you think of the Force Dyad theory? Love it, hate it? What's a Force Dyad? For all those that don't listen to the show and or read the rumors and stories and theories. And then other comment below. Love it, hate it?
Love it.
I love it.
Just don't think it's going to happen.
Just don't think
it's going to happen. All right. We're going to thank our producers. You guys are awesome. On Patreon, you make this show possible. DJ Blake, Emily Hoffman, Eric McGilvray, Ian Thompson, and our senior producers, Kate Disney Lugers. You're awesome. Judith Jesse, hi Grammy. And Roberto Moreno. I like saying that name.
Yeah.
You can also become somebody that we celebrate at the end of our show and... If we can find a way to say your name in a fun way, we will. By going to patreon.com/TatooineSons. You can also find us on social media. We're all over Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, and not Snapchat because I have no idea what that is or how it works. And reviews. Guys, we need to start a new streak. You could be the person to help us make that new streak. If you made it this far in the show, please go right now onto Spotify or iTunes, primarily iTunes, because I can't seem to figure out where the Spotify reviews are. And then give us a review. Go on iTunes right now. Like, the second. Open up the phone right now.
No, we're doing that again?
Yeah, do it right now. Thanks. Okay. It worked. I think, was it last week that I did that?
Yeah.
It was a couple weeks
ago. And it worked.
Yeah.
And we got a review.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe we'll get one this week. All right. I guess that's going to pretty much do it for the show. Anything else we're going to talk about or want to say before we go?
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you, always.
This party's over.
I like that Wookiee.
Don't get technical with me.
Droid, please.
Yup, yup.
Tatooine Sons, the Star Wars podcast, is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or Disney and is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The official Star Wars site is located at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, the Star Wars logo, and all names and pictures of Star Wars characters, vehicles, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Lucasfilm Limited or their respective trademark and copyright holders.
Sorry.
So who's the pro for your lawn? If you're like me, look no further than yourself. I made my beautiful lawn from great seed, a lot of pride, and even less water than you think. And did it all with Pennington Smart Seed. You see, Smart Seed is a premium seed bred to be drought resistant, so you'll use 30% less water for the entire life of your lawn. So to those who'd say the grass is greener on the other side, I politely disagree. Just look at my lawn. Pennington Smart Seed. Guaranteed to grow. Reclaim your turf.